In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All the children are back in school, and today we began the new church school year for our Sunday school. And so it's a good occasion to continue on with Psalm 118, the next section, verses 9 through 16, all of which in Hebrew begin with the letter Beth. The first verse asks a question. Wherewithal shall a young man correct his way? And the answer is by keeping thy words. If you think about a ship that begins a journey, if that ship veers off course early on in the journey, but then it's corrected, it doesn't take very much for the captain to get that ship back onto the course that it needed to be on. Whereas if that same ship veers off course and it's not detected for many days, then it takes quite a bit of time to get back onto course, because with each passing moment, that ship is further and further away from where it should be. St. Theophon notes that when you have a clay pot, it said that it retains the scent of the first substance that's placed in it. And so it is with morals. If you start a child off in the right direction, you teach him morals, he'll always have that with him for the rest of his life. And it's certainly no guarantee that that child will never get away from God, but if he does, it'll be easy for him to repent because he'll know exactly where he needs to go. It'll be familiar to him. You can correct your way at any age, and the method is the same, and that's by keeping God's words. But as I said, with age comes bad habits, and if you've lived a life of sin, you have sinful habits and even addictions that can be great burdens that you have to bear. There are scars that live with you for the rest of your life, and what a blessing it is for a child to be raised in the right way and to continue on in that path and to live a holy life. Blessed Sirach says in Ecclesiasticus 6:18, "My son, gather instruction from thy youth up, and thou shalt find wisdom till thine old age." And how can a young man or woman set his right course for his life? By keeping God's words, which they must diligently study and diligently practice. You can't keep God's words if you don't know them, and we have to familiarize ourselves with them. They have to become what we breathe and what we eat. Verse 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought after thee. Cast me not away from thy commandments." You might ask, is it possible that we could be cast away from God's commandments? Would God do that to us? Well, if we look in the Gospels, we see that Christ drove the money changers away from the temple with a whip because they were doing wrong and they needed to be corrected. But he didn't just politely ask them to change, he drove them out. And of course, if they repented, they would have been accepted back. Also, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians talks about the need to excommunicate unrepentant, immoral people who refuse to change their ways. And so, yes, it is possible to be cast away from God's commandments. And if the church doesn't excommunicate someone, it's possible that just by allowing themselves to drift away from the church, they will be cast away from God's commandments. But as long as you still have some sense in your heart that you need to repent, that you need to do right thing, you've not gone beyond the point of no return. And so how do you avoid that situation? Well, you avoid that by seeking God with your whole heart, obeying that greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Verse 11 says, "In my heart have I hid thy sayings that I might not sin against thee." It's possible to keep the commandments in an outward way, but when the commandments are hid in the heart, there's a consistent desire to fulfill them, and so we don't fulfill them just because we want to be seen of men, or just because we want to check off the box, or just do the minimum, but we do it because we love to do it, because we love God. If we remember the parable of the sower, we remember that the seed that fell on good soil and took root was embedded in that soil, and it bore fruit. And if we take the seed of the gospel and we hide it in our heart, then the devil is unable to snatch it away, and it's unable to be burned up by the heat of trials or adversities. Verse 12 says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." This is the refrain of one of the most prominent hymns in the Sunday Matins called the Evlogatoria, which is based on the Greek word blessed. And we also have this same evlocutoria, or well, actually the same refrain, but different verses at a panakita or a funeral. We also hear that phrase in things like the doxology at Matins or at Compline, and also in the prayer vouchsafe, O Lord, at Vespers. And so obviously the church is trying to drive home a point to us when it says, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. If keeping God's statutes were not important, as some suggest, we wouldn't have this constant repetition to remind us that it's important that we do so. And how do we keep God's, or how do we learn God's statutes? Well, first we begin by praising him, Blessed art thou, O Lord, but then asking him to bestow his mercy upon us, Teach me thy statutes. Verse 13, With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Christ in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 34, says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. We should all think about what kinds of things come out of our mouths. What do we talk about? What are the kinds of things that we say to our friends and discuss? Because whatever's coming out of our mouth, that tells us what the abundance of our heart is. Are we talking about the things of God? Are we talking about pious things, wholesome things? Are we gossiping about people, speaking evil of people, engaged in crude discussions that we wouldn't want our families to hear? Because that's the abundance of our heart that we're speaking from. And if evil is coming out of our mouths, then we need to work on changing our heart and asking God to give us a new heart and an upright spirit. Verse 14 says, In the way of thy testimonies have I found delight as much as in all riches. He doesn't simply say, I found delight in thy testimonies, but he says he's found delight in the way of thy testimonies. In other words, the doing of God's commandments. There are some people that you'll encounter that love to talk about theology. They love to read the latest book that is published by this or that press, and to talk about this or that theologian, and they'll even read the scriptures quite a bit, and they'll talk about it, but they don't do it. It stops there, and that's not the Christian life. It's important to do all those things, to study theology if you're able to read those books, but certainly read the scriptures, the lives of the saints, the writings of the fathers. But you have to put it all into practice, otherwise you're wasting your time, otherwise you're just heaping up damnation upon yourself because you're more aware of what you should be doing and you're still not doing it. And he says that we delighted in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches, just like a man who had incredible wealth would delight in those riches. But in fact, we should delight in them more than earthly riches. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God's word is so deep and incredibly wonderful that we can only scratch the surface if we spend all our life studying them. But what we'll find is that the incredible wealth that we get just by scratching that surface is an amazing thing, and it's such a blessing that we will come to treasure it and to delight in it. Verse 15, On thy commandments will I ponder, and I will understand thy ways. When we ponder God's word, we go beyond simply reading the text. It's important for us to read the text to get the information that's in the text, but we also need to take time to reflect on what the text means, because a lot of times the meaning is just a little bit below the surface and it doesn't quite dawn on us what it's really telling us unless we take the time to think about, what does this mean? How does it apply to me? What do I need to do to fulfill what is said here? That's how we come to understand God's ways. Again, reading scripture, you have to do it, but you have to take the time to reflect on it as well. And verse 16, On thy ways while I meditate, I will not forget thy words. This refers to our repeating and memorizing scripture. And this is something that too few of us take the time to do. But even just from the hymns of the church, you'll be able to remember and memorize certain phrases from Scripture, But we should try to more diligently memorize portions of Scripture, because as we turn over those Scriptures in our mind and think about them, the meaning becomes all the more apparent. And also, the Hebrew word that's translated as meditate suggests that we do this with joy. Now, when we use the word meditate, what comes to a lot of people's minds as they think about Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh or some advocate of transcendental meditation, that's not what we're talking about here. The difference between Hindu meditation or Buddhist meditation is those religions try to empty the mind because they want to become one with the great nothing. But when Christians meditate, they meditate on things. They try to fill their minds with the things of God. And so when we meditate on the things of God. We don't just empty our mind, because if we empty our mind, we're opening it up to something. And the unfortunate reality is when you engage in Buddhist or Hindu meditation, you're opening up your mind to demonic influence. So instead of doing that, you need to meditate in a Christian way. But it's very important that we do take the time to meditate, to ponder God's word. And if we do this, we won't forget his word. But when it says we won't forget his word, it's not just merely that we won't forget the words, but that we won't forget to do what the words say, that we won't forget to do what they teach us to do. And how much time should we spend meditating on God's word? Psalm 1 verse 2 says, "And in his law will he meditate," speaking of the blessed man. "Blessed is the man that hath not walked in the counsel of the ungodly." And it says, "And in his law will he meditate day and night." So we must constantly ponder God's word in every waking moment. And if we will do this, we will correct our way and keep his word. That doesn't mean that every waking moment we're going to be able to have a Bible in front of us and study it. But we should be constantly thinking about the things of God, thinking about what God has taught us to do in the various situations that we find ourselves in. And we have to do this with our whole heart. We have to constantly hide his words in our heart so that it can take root and bear fruit. And so that from the abundance of our heart, we will constantly speak the things of God and live out what he says in what we do. And this will not be burdensome, but will be something that we will delight in. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Amen.